Thank you today for all the singing. I thought about that song a while ago. We sang Face to Face. What an awesome thought to be face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, if you would, today and turn to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number 17. In my ministry, I always enjoy preaching the Word of God, but many times there's other things that I like to preach on that make me a lot more happier than preaching on what I'm going to preach on today. It seems like it's been lately that I've been bombarded with the thought, and Brother Kyle Austin last week brought it to our attention, and oftentimes as a pastor, as he mentioned, we're asked, why does evil things happen in a world with a loving God? Why does God allow it? He gave a great explanation, and truly I'm not trying to expand on that at all. And if you look on the back of the bulletin today, there's also a little bit article that was written by Scott Pauley, and it too kind of identifies some of the things that I'm going to be looking at. So as I begin to look at the Bible, I begin to try to understand exactly what's taking place, and I'm grateful for these men that have helped to stir my thinking. But we ask ourselves the question, why is there evil in the world? Heard this morning on the way to church, there was a shooting in Atlanta yesterday. It was some armed robbery, and it was between the police and them, so it wasn't a shooting like we're used to. But yet today the world is full of sin, and the world is full of evil, and we wonder why it happened. Just to touch back on where Brother Kyle was last Sunday night, if you'll remember, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created them in a perfect way. There was nothing wrong, there was no sin, there was no evil, everything was perfectly right, and yet God gave us a choice. And the choice is today, you don't have to be saved, you don't have to trust Christ, you don't have to go to heaven. You can do right or you can do evil. But the fact is, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, the Bible said, wherefore one man, sin, entered into the world, and death was sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So now we know that because Adam sinned, all sinned, and we're all sinners. It doesn't make no difference who we are, and I know we don't like to. There's a lot of churches that you go to church and they want to make you feel good. Well, I tell you today, I want to make you feel good, and the only way I know it is to do what that song said, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. It might be some difficult times along the way, but listen, He's the answer to every problem in every life if you'll trust Him to meet your need. However, we find that men have made the choice many times, and we come to the point in our life to understanding that we're not as good sometimes as we think that we are. Oftentimes we say, well, he's a good man or he's a good woman. What we mean by that is they're a good neighbor. They're morally right. They do what's right with me, and they're kind to me, and they're good. And I agree today, and please don't misunderstand me. When I talk to you, I'm going to tell you today how bad we really are, but I want to emphasize to you today that it does not mean we have to be that way or remain that way, and we do have something that the rest of the world does not have, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've trusted Him as our personal Savior. There's over 7 billion people on the face of the planet today, and I venture to say today, there's none good, no, not one. Truthfully today, what we must understand is that we're not talking so much about good here as we are about righteous. You see, the need today is for us to be righteous. Jesus said in Mark 10:18, and Jesus said unto them, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. The only thing being in the universe that we could actually call good is God. Oftentimes we ask people, and sometimes I cut up with some of you, and I say, how you doing? And they said, good. And I said, really? Who told you that? And the truth is, we find in the Word of God, and I understand according to what we're talking about, but because we're sinners, we have that old sin nature. And friend, today the world, it's not that God created evil. It's not that God caused evil, but God gave man the right to choose the path that he would take. And stop and think about it. If God would have never sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, if there'd have never been no need of a Savior, if we'd all been in a perfect world, there'd never been any need, literally, for us to exist. For we find today that God sent His Son to die on the cross for us to give us a way out. A way that we could trust God and do what He would have us to do. Because we're sinners, we're separated from God. That means that we can't fellowship with Him. A person that's a sinner, never been saved, has no fellowship with Him. They have no relationship with Him. I believe today that all of us have come to the point, if we've ever been saved, to where we develop a personal relationship. The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Friend, today, if you're born in this world, you're born a sinner. You go through life, and hopefully somewhere along the line, you hear the message of salvation. You get saved. God gives you a new heart. But the Bible tells us that by nature, we're not good. By nature, we have that old sinful nature. And even after we get saved, that old sinful nature often rises its head. In Isaiah 64 and verse number 6, the Bible said, "All our righteousness are as filthy rags, and do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, has taken us away." You said, "Preacher, I don't like you talking to me that way." Listen, I'm just telling you what the Bible said. And the Bible said there's none good in this earth today. We must understand it. Now, salvation is found not in the good deeds we produce. It's not found in the baptism waters that we enter, but it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible said in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible said in Philippians 3, 9, "And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Friend, today I have no righteousness of my own, but my righteousness covers my sin when I trust the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary for our sin. I'm sorry, that was introduction. I'm going to move quickly, but I'm going to tell you today, and we've already got the title, "The Heart of the Problem." If you have your Bibles, at Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. The Bible said, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings." Our Father, we do thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, I'm grateful today that somebody told me a long time ago that I needed a Savior. Lord, I'm thankful today for the righteousness of God that's been shed abroad upon my life. But Lord, I realize today in this society that we live, evil still exists. It still exists even in the hearts of those that are saved. We fight every day. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities and powers of the air that's out to destroy our lives, destroy our testimony and all that we do. Father, I pray now that you would guide and direct, have your will and way, we pray, and we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, amen. I believe today verse 9 makes it very clear where our problem is. The problem is our heart. The heart. Now, this is a bad thing. It said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then he said, who can know it? Somebody said, well, I know my heart. Do you really? The Bible said, according to this, that it's deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Our problem is eternal. There's two things that we find here that makes us understand the importance of being eternal. It talks about in verse 9, the heart. And by the way, the Bible said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And our heart is of great importance, but we have to understand today, literally, our heart by nature is wicked. He talks about our heart, and he talks about our reign. Today we talk about the heart. We're not talking about a functioning heart. Pumping heart is truly important in our life. If it ever stops, we're through, right? But the truth of it is today, he's talking about the seat of our emotions and our heart. He talks about the reins, and these reins could be referred to as being our mind. The Bible said, I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here it is. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I had to be careful doing that. I wasn't saying you need to be crazy, but by the renewing. When we get saved, we need a renewing of the mind. Our mind is like an engine that moves the vehicle of our lives. But our heart is the steering wheel that directs us into the right direction we go. Friend, today I'm telling you, it's often been said, we are what we produce in our life. We are what we read. We are what we watch. We are what we do in realizing that. The truth is, we act like we do because of who we are. The Bible said we're sinners. I said it today. We do not become sinners because we sin. I always tell the boys out at YDC, I said, no, look, brother, you believe, well, not a brother yet, I guess, but I'd say, look, fellas, do you believe that you're a sinner? And they inevitably, none of them ever have a problem. Now, sometimes I run into some folks say, oh, no, I'm not a sinner. But the guys at YDC, oh, they say I'm a sinner. But I said, well, let me clarify something. You're not a sinner because what you did to get in here. You're a sinner because the Bible said sin passed upon all men for that. All have sinned. The Bible said in Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's the word of God, friend. Psalm 58, 3, he said, they go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. You don't have to teach a child to tell a lie. In Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now you said, preacher, why are you telling us all this? Because I'm telling you, that's the basis of the grounds of why we need Jesus. That's the basis of the ground why we need salvation and need to be saved by the grace of God. Left to ourselves, mankind will always choose sin over righteousness. Left to ourselves. Hear people often say, well, I would get saved, but I don't think I can live it. You can't live it. But I tell you, Christ can live it in you if you put your faith and trust in Him. Already talked about it and dealt with it, so I'm going to move right along. But our problem is an inherited problem. It came from Adam right from the beginning. And yet today we have sometimes even people in Baptist churches that say, you know, we're not as bad as the Bible says we are. We're not as bad as people think we are. Friend, listen, I'm not here today to call you bad. I believe we got some of the best people in the world right here. But can I tell you, all of us have a sin nature that will lead us down to a path of destruction if we do not keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, and Adam lived 130 years old and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. The word likeness refers to Seth's shape, his outward form, image, a phantom, or a spirit. It refers to the internal man. So we find it was passed down from generation to generation. And friend, today, listen, I tell you today, we hear about bad things happening to good people, people that we thought were good people, people we thought were righteous people, and they do bad things. And listen, it's a bad thing when they do it, and we surely need to pray. But I learned a long time ago that every one of us are capable of straying and going down a path that would lead us in a direction that is wrong, because the old sin nature still exists. The scope of man's problem in verse number 9, I want you to notice the Bible is clear that we're born that way. The word deceitful means crooked. It describes a road that rises and falls, that twists and turns into the distance. And it implies that the heart is actively deceptive. It's deceiving us all along. It does not allow man to see every part of his being. Why do you think today we live in a society? And I'm telling you, you know what I'm talking about. The world today on television, they make sin look glorious, fulfilling, and something that everybody would want to be a part of it. You say, well, I understand, but I know better than that. But if you watch it long enough, you'll be persuaded, because that old nature will rise up in you. There's a problem, by the way. I think we need to be careful. And I know there's a song that says it, and I'm not being critical of that. I think there is important. But have you ever heard somebody say, I'm just going to trust my heart? Why don't you read 17, verse 9? The Bible said, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Friend, today we need to be sure that our heart is in tune and in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart can lead us to Christ, or it can lead us into deep, dark sin. The heart is depraved. He talks about it's deceitful and desperately wicked. Sick, frail, feeble, hopeless, incurable, if you would, depraved. Depraved means to be marked by corruption and evil, to be utterly corrupt. I think today of all the things that happened today, I think of the Boston Marathon bombing, and I think about how those fellows planted those bombs and the people that was killed and the people that was injured. Why do they do that? Because of the sin nature that envelops their heart. Friend, you cannot blame that on God. God created a perfect universe, but yet man has destroyed it because Adam sinned, and sin fell upon all of us. And we found ourselves in that position. A bad fellow by the name of Kermit Gosnell performed thousands of abortions between 1972 and 2011. Many of the abortions were late term. He induced labor upon children, mothers and children would be born, and he would kill them alive. I don't understand that, other than the sin nature that envelops our society. Think about the Nazis. I think about Hitler. Think about the 911 bombers. Think about Charles Manson, David Koresh, Jim Jones, Saddam Hussein, Joseph Stalin. The list could go on and on and on. Man, we say, man, those guys were evil, but hey, what about this? What about the drunks and the drug addicts and friends and neighbors and folks, relatives that are infected with the same disease? The problem is universal, friend. And I tell you again, I'm not preaching this message looking down my nose. I'm preaching this message to let you understand that except by the grace of God, we could be where anybody is this morning. It had not been for God's grace in our life. The fact that this mankind has fallen with a depraved nature. He's unable to avoid sin. Basically, within himself, he's unable to change by the power of his own will. Neither is he able to even seek God. Sin has corrupted every part of man's being, many times leaving him, as the Bible said, completely dead in sin. In Ephesians 2:1, "And ye hath he quickened who was dead in your trespasses and sin." See, if you've never been saved this morning, you're dead. Now, I know you say, "Preacher, I'm breathing. I'm here this morning. I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm glad you are." But according to the Word of God, you're dead spiritually if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. That old sin nature, listen, the only way to combat the sin nature is to have Christ in our heart. And I know we're upset by all the evil in the world, and we see it happening. Somebody said, "Why don't God?" Listen, God did His part, okay? He created a perfect universe. He gave man a choice. Man made the decision to destroy his life and others around about him. It doesn't mean that people are evil, that all people are capable of committing every sin imaginable. Robert Murray McShane said, "The seed of every sin known to man is in my heart." Our depraved nature prevents us from seeking God on our own. Left to himself, man will never come to God. People say, "Well, I'm going to get saved one day. I'm going to get my life straightened out. When I get things in order, when I get right and I understand, and when I read the Bible and understand it," well, then that's foolish anyway, because the Bible said, "The natural man receives not things of God, neither can he know them for the Spirit to discern." If you're waiting to get yourself right before you get saved, I'm sorry to tell you, but you'll never get saved. Because the only way you get right is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 14, verse 1 through 3, the Bible said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." I could take you this morning on a journey through the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, and we'd find people that we believe were saved people that knew Christ, but they fell into sin because of their old sin nature. All humans are by nature rebellious fools. I didn't say that. God did. He said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Friend, I tell you, I remember growing up, my dad said, "Don't you never call nobody a fool." And I've tried by the best of my ability to never do that. But friend, when I'm preaching the Word of God, I have to tell you what God says. And that's exactly what He said. The whole of humanity, the whole of humanity. This world we're living in, this wicked world. And by the way, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I'm not preaching on that this morning. But thank God there's coming a day. We're going to be released from this place. The whole humanity is filthy. It's corrupt. It's abominable. We're all filthy, corrupt, and abominable at one time by Adam's sinful act and his rebellion against God. We are all turned away from God at one time. When Adam turned away, we all turned away in him. Because of Adam's sin, the whole human race was plunged into an absolute spiritual ignorance. Noah built the ark, and they laughed and mocked at him and made fun. No one has the ability to do anything that is truly good and acceptable in the sight of God. Not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to His mercy, He saved me. I surely don't deserve what God's give to me. And I surely don't deserve even to stand here and proclaim this precious book. But thank God I serve a forgiving God in heaven that loves me and saved me by His marvelous grace. Everything man does is a window into his fallen, corrupt state. In Matthew 15, verse 18 through 19, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. Oftentimes I've been around people and they'll say something and they say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Friend, I believe this. And I realize sometimes people out of their mind may say things, and I'm not talking about that. But I tell you, when people speak it often and they always slip, and it didn't just happen. It was here all the time, and it just comes up. He said in Matthew 12, 34 and 35, listen, you think I'm being hard on you this morning? Listen to what Jesus said. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Jesus said that. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Proverbs 23:7 puts it this way. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Friend, the heart needs to be right with God. Every good that man does in this world is not pleasing. For the Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In other words, everything we do must be in faith to God. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Even after we're saved, I'm telling you, the old sin nature is still there. It manifests itself repeatedly in many, many ways. He does this through besetting evil, evil thoughts, poor attitudes, hatefulness, divisive, immaturity, lack of godly love for others, unforgiveness. The sin that still haunts us as the people of God should clearly reveal to us today that mankind as a whole has a problem. It has an internal problem, and that's why Jesus put this church on this earth, is in order that we might tell people about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that does not totally, it gives us hope, it gives us help. He gives us somebody to help us through our life. But yet today, men still reject it. Most churches are not even interested anymore. They want to make people feel good. They want to tell you, you know, you're doing really good. You just hang in there and you'll make it. Friend, you're not going to make it unless you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, today is the day of salvation. There's the source of man's problem. There's the scope of man's problem. Lastly, the solution for man's problem. Here it is. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He is in a condition, man is, that he cannot change. And the truth of it is, most men don't want to change. Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and tell them about Christ? They said, well, preacher, I just don't know if I'm ready to start living that way or not. You know why? Because that old nature says, oh, you're going to miss out on all the fun. Oh, it's not fun. Sin destroys lives, destroys homes, it destroys heart. The truth is, most people are happy as they are. We live in society today, I promise you, there's much more people that aren't in church than are in church. And they're going about their business as nothing has changed in their life. They're doing what they want to do. But we need to understand today that Christ has the solution for our problem. The solution lies in a person, the person being the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I, the Lord, thank God today, the Lord searcheth our hearts. It means to penetrate, to examine, to find out what's in our heart. Could I tell you something? God already knows what's in our heart, and He knows it's wicked and depraved. It's at the depths of the fallen human heart. This means that God knows what lives in our heart. He knows what lives in our mind. He knows everything about us on every level. He knows us. That's a scary thought. As you sit there this morning, you understand God knows everything about you. The psalmist said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my paths and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 4. The Lord knows who you are. He knows what we are. He knows what's in your mind. The solution lies in the provision. This God reaches out to fallen in grace. He reaches out to the lost with a free offer. And friend, the only thing, and I've said this before, somebody said, I believe it's too late, and it may be, but there's only one answer for America, and that's America to turn back to God. Will we ever see people, everybody get saved? No. Everybody won't get saved. Will everybody quit doing evil? No, they won't. But I tell you what, honestly, I'm afraid we as churches have failed over the last few years. If we'd have been doing the business at hand, we might have seen more people trust in Christ than ever before and accepting Him as their personal Savior. I'm going to give you some scripture. I'm not going to read them just for sake of time. But He shows us our condition, and He convicts us of our sin in John 16, verse 7 through 11. He draws us to Himself and promises salvation in John 6, 44. When we come to Him by faith, He saves us by His grace, John 6, 37, and Romans 10, 13. When He saves us, He radically changes us. The Bible said we become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. He takes our depraved heart, and He gives us a new one in Ezekiel 26, verse 26. He causes us to fear Him in Jeremiah 32, 40. So we live like He desires for us to. He changes us and fills us with His love, according to Romans 5, 5. He changes us and causes us to want to live for Him, Romans 6, 17. He replaces our deceitful heart with a true heart that loves Him and wants to be near Him, according to Hebrews 10, 22. All these things and more are the provision of a new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. I think back over my life. I think about where I've been. I think about some of the things I've done. But I tell you what, it was only by the grace of God that He put a new desire in my heart. And I tell you, I can say today, and I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart and all my soul and with all my mind. I love going to the house of God. I love worshiping God. I love singing the praises of God. And friend, that's the only thing that'll combat the evil in this world. We put our faith and trust in Him. If you ever wondered why the world was so wicked and how people could be so evil? Well, clearly, I believe today the question's been answered last week with Brother Austin. Hopefully today. But you know who bears the responsibility of it? The devil. Satan was tempting Adam and Eve in the beginning, and he's still tempting others, even in the day in which we live. I think it is clear today, we need to pray for the lost. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said He was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think today that we as Christians ought to hate sin, but we ought to love the sinner. And I tell you today, we need to love the sinner like we've never loved them before and love them to Jesus. Because this corrupt world will continue to be corrupt because men make their own choices. And we, men, we in Adam, corrupted everything from the beginning that God had prepared for His people. Friend, today, I hope you know Him. And I tell you, if you know Him, you got a leg up, as they say. I tell you, you got some help. There's some hope. And friend, your desires ought to be different. And I tell you, the devil will still try to tempt you. But the Bible said, the sin does so easily beset us, but run the race with patience that is set before us. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, Lord, for the message. It wasn't one probably too popular. Nobody wants to hear how bad sometimes we are.